Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is our Bible study edition, and we're going through Philippians. We ended up in chapter 2, about verse 15. Paul says, "Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, amongst whom ye shine as lights in the world." Now remember, Paul is writing to the Greeks here in Philippi, the church that he established 10 years before. And where I live today, pretty much the same type of world, crooked and perverse, becoming more crooked and perverse all the time. The United States of America today, very Greco-Roman in behavior and the things that they accept and the things that they hold up. Besides having all of the new technology and automobiles and computers and electric lights, at the heart of the society, not a whole lot has changed. If you took all of our modern conveniences and all of the inventions of man and you placed them there where they were 2,000 years ago, you would probably pretty much have the same effect. A society in degradation. A society wallowing in filthiness and ungodliness. Yes, that's the kind of society that we live in, that the Philippians lived in. And they were to shine as a light in that world. And we are to shine as a light in this world. It says, holding forth the word of life. Paul says, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And what more could Paul hope for? What more could I hope for? I mean, I do what I do for the same reason that Paul did what he does. And you're listening for the same reasons that the elect of Philippi were listening to Paul. Because you love God's word and you want to be that light in a dark world and hold forth the word of life. You want to be those living epistles that he spoke of. That's where our treasure is. That's where we mine. We are treasure hunters. We are miners. We are digging in the mortal realm. We are tearing at the gates of hell, trying to rip souls from the jaws of death itself. And we must shine that light. And a few will see the light, and they will come to the light. And they are our treasure. And the effects go on and on because they in turn take that light and they shine it again and again until Christ comes. It said, holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And we should all desire to speak those words with Paul. Yea, if I be offered up, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy, shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know of your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. Paul, wanting to send someone he can trust, knowing that there are so many what is the word that I'm looking for? Lost. Lost that word. Hirelings. There you go. That's the word I was looking for. Then Jesus spoke. He talked about hirelings. People who have other motivations. Some of the motivations that Paul covered. Vainglory. Disputations. Wanting to win the argument. I could care less about the argument. I want to win souls for Christ. And if an argument will do it, then I'll engage in the debate. And if an argument or a debate will not accomplish it, then I expect the Spirit to move me to be non-confrontational. Whatever it takes, whatever I need to be, I pray that the Spirit will move me to be that which I need to be at the time. Because the Spirit of God knows all things. And I know next to nothing. That's why we need to walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. Very important. And that training starts with learning obedience through that work of repentance that is initiated by the Holy Ghost when we first come. And we never, ever walk away from that work of repentance. That is a continual work. And I speak from experience, 45 years of experience, that I'm much more obedient to that Spirit, to the Holy Spirit work of repentance today than I was 45 years ago, and have become more so over time. So it should be an increasing work in your life, the work of repentance, a work that I joy in. I rejoice in it. The Holy Spirit wants to teach me obedience. I am eager to learn what pleases my Father. And why? Well, because I prayed and He answered my prayers. I said, Father, the great commandment says, love God. Teach me to love you. Now, you know, that is a hard one to figure out because I have children. And how would I know if my children love me? If they obey me, if they trust me, and who can we trust more than God Almighty? Whatever He desires for us is the absolute best thing for our lives. I believe that. So I'm eager to learn obedience, to obey the Father. And that comes through repentance, continual. Teach me. I can go another 40 years easily being perfected and learning obedience to the things of God, to His Word, to the moving of His Spirit, to the work of His Holy Spirit. And that's how we learn to be led by the Spirit, is allowing the Holy Spirit to do that work in us. That's what it means to be led by the Spirit. That's the proving ground. That's the elementary lessons begin there. And just learning. Then, you know, you want to be led by the Spirit. Oh, I'd like to be led by the Spirit. Yes. Then learn obedience. Because the Spirit is moving you to obey God. Being led by the Spirit is equivalent to obedience to the Word of God. Yes. Obedience to the Word of God. They are equivalent. And for the right motivation. Not to gain some temporal gain or to enrich yourself or to look better in the eyes of men or even to gain eternal life because your works do not accomplish it. Jesus already accomplished that for you. All you need to do is walk in His kingdom. Walk on that narrow way that He died to provide, that He shed His blood to provide for you. You must walk in it. Jesus said, not everyone who calls me Lord, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Obedience. Paul says, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. He's saying few and far between are true shepherds. Wow. Few and far between. It is hard to find a true shepherd. I know. I've looked, and there are very few true shepherds out there. Most of them are hirelings. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But you know the proof of him, going back to Paul and Timothy here, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Real people living real lives with the real trials and tribulations. That's what the Word of God reveals to us. It's not some lofty, ancient book full of nonsense, as the world would have you believe. But it is real, and it is true. It is the Word of God. We can rely on it. Pulls no punches, and it tells all. It hides nothing and reveals everything to them that have eyes to see and ears to hear. For he says, for indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. And we move on to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1. Henry says, sincere Christians rejoice in Jesus Christ. The prophet calls the false prophets dumb dogs, to which the apostle seems to refer. Dogs for their malice against faithful professors of the gospel of Christ, barking at them and biting them. They urged human works in opposition to the faith of Christ. But Paul calls them evil workers. He calls them the concision, as they rent the church of Christ and cut it to pieces. The work of religion is to no purpose unless the heart is in it. And we must worship God in the strength and grace of the divine spirit. They rejoice in Jesus Christ, not in mere outward enjoyments and performances, nor can we too earnestly guard against those who oppose or abuse the doctrine of free salvation. If the apostle would have gloried and trusted in the flesh, he had as much cause as any man. But the things which he counted gain while a Pharisee and had reckoned up, those he counted loss for Christ. The apostle did not persuade them to do anything but what he himself did, or to venture on anything but that on which he himself ventured, his never-dying soul. He deemed all things to be but loss compared with the knowledge of Christ by faith in his person and salvation. He speaks of all worldly enjoyments and outward privileges which sought a place with Christ in his heart, or could pretend to any merit and desert, and counted them but loss. But it might be said It is easy to say so, but what would he do when he came to the trial? He had suffered the loss of all for the privileges of a Christian. Nay, he not only counted them lost, but the vilest refuse, offals thrown to the dogs, not only less valuable than Christ, but in the highest degree contemptible when set up against him. True knowledge of Christ alters and changes men, their judgments and manners, and makes them as if new, if made new again. The believer prefers Christ, knowing that it is better for us to be without all worldly riches than without Christ and his word. Let us see what the apostle resolved to cleave to, and that was Christ and heaven. We are undone. Without righteousness, wherein do we appear before God? For we are guilty. There is a righteousness provided for us in Jesus Christ, and it is a complete and perfect righteousness. None can have benefit by it who trust in themselves. Faith is the appointed means of applying the saving benefit. It is by faith in Christ's blood we are made conformable to Christ's death. When we die to sin, as he died for sin, and the world is crucified to us, and we to the world, but the cross of Christ. The apostle is willing to do or suffer anything to attain the glorious resurrection of the saints. This hope and prospect carried him through all difficulties in his work. He did not hope to attain it through his own merit and righteousness, but through the merit and righteousness of Jesus Christ. We keep our eye on the prize. The resurrection is the goal. We fix our eye on that goal and we plow the straight furrow. We don't go to the left or to the right. That is our object. And if we do go off, we humble ourselves and we repent. As the prophet said, the wise man falls down 7 times, but he gets back up 7 times. Every time he repents and he gets back on that straight and narrow path. And I know 70 times 7 is the forgiveness of our great and merciful Father. No matter what it takes, don't let go of the prize of eternal life. And that's why I call my ministry Cross the Border, and I say there is absolutely nothing more important than the gain of eternal life. There's nothing higher to attain on this mortal plane than eternal life. If you lose that, you lose everything. You might as well. What's the purpose of life? It would be better if you were never born, as Christ said, for those especially that lead others astray. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas, and I have a website. It's called crosstheborder.org. This Bible study, as well as others, are available there. Go to my website, crosstheborder.org. Make sure you subscribe. I have go to my Bible studies page there, and you'll find Bible studies for almost every book in the Bible. And we'll be adding this one too, of those studies in Philippians, as we have not done it previously on the air. We have other studies there. I am decidedly Protestant and historicist in my belief on the Bible. I have rejected the Counter-Reformation, futurist interpretation of the Revelation and of the several prophetic passages of the New Testament, the Gospels and the Epistles. I've written several books. One is called, I've written several books on the rapture. The first one, in 2014, called The Rapture Will Be Canceled. A little too bold, perhaps, of a title for most people to accept in the church out there, as the outer court has been flooded And even those that are in the inner court have been flooded by the nominal and mainstream church in the futurist indoctrination of counter-reformation end time eschatology. My latest book, When the Third Temple is Built, written for the times and as a primer to give people a start, a fresh look at things. So do take a look at that. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross the Border. Go not anywhere.